Evaporated Milk presents Miss Bonita Granville on Stars Over Hollywood.
When I got home from Scott Ames' studio, I looked at our own threadbare apartment and thought of the contrast with the glamorous picture he'd taken of me. I had to make a choice. But what would it be?
Welcome to Hollywood, home and workshop of the world's most glamorous people. Each week, Stars Over Hollywood presents the world's best-known stars, actors you've seen in motion pictures and heard on radio. Such famous names as Jane Wyman, Dane Clark, Shelley Winters. Today, Carnation, the world's favorite brand of evaporated milk, brings you Miss Bonita Granville, the transcribed story, Nocturne in Black and White. And now, Act One of Nocturne in Black and White, starring Bonita Granville in the role of Marcia Stone. Curtain going up.
It had been hours since Scott went into the darkroom. With every moment, I grew more uncertain and afraid, watching the closed room, waiting for him to come out with the proofs of the pictures he'd taken of me. I kept thinking, he's Scott Ames, the famous photographer. His work has made his name a byword with magazines. Why should he use me, Marcia Stone, stenographer, as a model for one of the most important exhibits in the country? Scott, if they're not any good, tell me. It doesn't matter.
Well, what makes you think they're none?
Well, because I'm not a model. I'm just a girl you met in the park.
You're just the girl I've searched for to use as a subject.
Scott, it just doesn't make sense. I've looked at some of the pictures you've taken.
Oh, well, what about them?
These girls, they're schooled and poised and beautiful.
You don't seem to realize that you're naturally what they want to be.
If you're going to make fun of me, I'm going.
Without seeing your pictures?
Mostly because I'm afraid to.
I rather hate letting you see them.
I don't understand what you mean. Do you like them?
Yeah. Look.
Oh, God. But this isn't me.
Marcia.
This can't be me.
Why, does it surprise you so much to find you beautiful?
Oh, it must be the way you took the pictures. The dress you gave me to wear. Dad always says, pretty feathers make pretty birds.
Oh, that's not true. Too many women rely on just pretty feathers.
I can't afford clothes very often.
Well, this extra money you're getting posing for me ought to help.
Oh, it's going to be a great help. The doctor's been wanting to try another type of treatment with Dad. So far, it's been too expensive.
Always your father, isn't it?
Oh, it's terribly hard on him, sitting there day after day in the apartment. Never able to go anyplace.
When can you come again? I want to photograph you in different lights, shadows, in different gowns.
I don't have a day off till next Saturday. That'll be a whole week.
Well, then, we'll have to wait till Saturday.
This exhibit means a great deal to you, doesn't it?
The Metropolitan exhibit isn't just any exhibit, Marcia. It's the one in the country.
There are so many girls you could have used. Girls that could come and pose any time you need them.
But it's you I want to use, Marcia. Not just any girl. Come on now. Here's your coat. I'll take you home.
It's about time you got home, Marcia.
Sorry. I had to work later than I thought.
What are you working on Saturdays for?
Means a little extra for us and for the doctor.
Doctor? He's no good. Never be able to do anything for me. I'll be in this wheelchair till I die.
Don't talk like that. I know someday you'll be well.
Since when are you getting so hopeful? Marsha, look at me. You wouldn't have gone off to meet somebody, would you? Some young pup that'll take advantage of a young girl?
Dad, what are you saying?
Answer me. You didn't go off and leave me all alone to be with somebody. You're not lying to me.
No, Dad, I'm not lying. I was working. If I met someone, I'd tell you about it, wouldn't I?
If I ever found out you weren't telling me the truth, it'd kill me.
You mustn't get excited. Wait. The check's in my purse. Here.
$50. Who is this Scott Ames?
He's a photographer. He takes pictures of models.
Well, what's he want with you? He's not taking your picture, is he?
Would that be wrong?
Wrong? I'd rather see you dead. Do you know what kind of girls become models, showing off their bodies, selling their looks? He's not taking your picture.
No. No, he's writing a book. I'm typing it for him.
I don't know whether I should let you work for a photographer. You don't know about men. You don't know how they are.
Have I ever done anything that would make you unhappy?
No.
All right, then. Now, just let me hurry and get dinner. The week dragged, hours into days, until at last it was Saturday again, and Scott picked me up in front of our place and drove out to his apartment. And when we were there together again, it was as though there had been no time between our last meeting.
What is it, Marcia? What are you thinking about?
Scott, do you believe in fate?
Sometimes. Why?
Well, I was just thinking how we met.
Well, I'd hardly call your boss's wife having a baby fate.
Oh, well, his letting me off early was. And my going to the park and then...
Meeting me?
I suppose it was selfish of me. I should have gone home to Dad. But I wanted so much to see the lake and the swans and the boat and the children.
Perhaps you will make me believe in fate.
You never told me what made you come to the park that afternoon.
Oh, I'd had a rough session with one of the models. Now, that's a picture hanging over the fireplace.
What was the matter?
She thinks she's in love with me.
Oh.
She only thinks she is. We photographers make them beautiful, so they fall for us.
She's so lovely.
Her kind of loveliness is quite common, Marcia. Yours isn't.
You were going to tell me why you went to the park.
So I was. Well, after I'd finished with Miss Lovely, I felt I needed some fresh, clean air. So I went for a drive. As I was passing the park, I saw the lake, and all of a sudden I wanted to be close to the water.
Just like me.
Just like you.
When you first sat down by me and started talking, I thought you were a wolf. Oh, not that you look like one.
I don't think you're quite sure.
Oh, but I am.
Here, we better stop talking and get to work. The gown I want you to wear is in the bedroom. You can change in there.
The dress was white lace. And I felt like a princess going to the grandest ball in the whole world. I combed my hair and fixed my makeup the way Scott had shown me, and then I went into the studio where he was. For a moment, I couldn't look at him. And when I did, he was staring at me. Suddenly, he walked over to me and took me in his arms. He kissed me, and I was happier than I'd ever known I could be. Afterwards, when he had me posed, I looked at him there behind the glaring light, looked at him with all the love and joy I was feeling inside of me. And then he took the pictures.
Well, that's it.
Tired?
Oh, a little. But how about you?
Well, I guess I should be, but I'm not.
Well, you better change. I'll take you home.
Will you want me to come next Saturday?
I'll call you at the office if I do.
Are you angry with me?
No. Why should I be?
Because
you won.
Oh, you must know I'm in love with you.
Marcia, you don't know what you're saying.
It's true, it's true.
Oh, now, listen to me a moment. Have you ever been in love with anyone before?
No.
Well, then how can you know what love is? Do you think a kiss means that I love you or you love me?
Oh, please don't spoil it.
Marcia, listen.
Maybe I've never been in love before, but that doesn't mean that I don't know what my heart feels.
Well, Makes me very proud that you think you care for me.
Oh, but I do care for you.
Marcia, in a few years you look back on this and laugh.
All right, Scott. I won't even wait a few years. If you want, I'll laugh at it right now.
But I'm... Where are you going?
To change. I'm going home.
Marcia?
Yes, Dad?
Is there anything the matter? You seem so restless and unhappy lately.
No, there's nothing. Dad, do you think I'm pretty? If I were dressed up, that is.
Why, honey, you know to me you're beautiful.
But to other people.
Who told you, that photographer fellow?
Oh, no. Just someone down at the office.
I've told you there aren't many men you can trust. Did he ask you out?
No.
Probably just giving you a line. You can't be sure about young men these days. Now about a game of cribbage.
I didn't know what to think, but I knew I had to see Scott again and talk to him. Maybe then I could stop feeling ashamed that I cared so much. Later that night, after Dad was asleep, I went to Scott's apartment. I was afraid. My hand trembled as I pushed the buzzer.
Yes?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know there was a party.
Oh, picture, miss. Come in. Mr. Ames over there. See?
In the center of the room, I could see Scott. He and a group of people were looking at my picture on an easel.
Wow! Hey, you kept this one all to yourself, huh?
Oh, nonsense.
Come on, old man. What's the secret?
Will you shut up, Bill?
Tell us. Did you make her fall in love with you on purpose just to get a picture like this?
No.
Marcia.
Scott, no.
Marcia, come back. Marcia.
I could hear Scott calling me as I ran down the hall from his apartment. It made me fall in love with him so he could get the picture. Scott made me fall in love with him. He hadn't really cared at all. It had just been me being young and foolish and full of hope. Well, I never wanted to see him again. The days passed, and then one night, when I left work, down in front of the building on the crowded sidewalk, I saw Scott. I tried to go back inside, away from him, but he'd seen me.
Marcia, wait. Wait. I've got to talk to you.
I've nothing to say to you.
I'm going to take you home.
Let go of me. People are staring at me.
Are you going to come along, or do I have to drag you?
All right, I'll come with you.
The car's right over here. Oh, stop trembling. I'm not going to hurt you.
I'm not trembling.
All right, come on. Get in. Will you stop acting so afraid?
Why do you want to see me?
I tried to call, then I've been away the last week. Why did you run away that night? You certainly didn't believe what that loudmouth was shooting off about.
What difference does it make?
That depends on you.
It doesn't make any difference. Scott, you were right. I don't love you anymore. It was just a case of model and photographer.
Oh, Marcia, you're so hurt.
It's only when you care about someone that they can hurt you. I don't care about you anymore.
Stop saying that. You're acting like a little fool.
I tell you, I didn't want to see you. I don't love you. I just want you to leave me alone. Now stop the car. Stop it,
Marcia,
please.
You're hysterical.
I don't ever want to see you again. Dad's right. He's right. Men are horrible.
Marcia.
You've got your pictures. Now go away and leave me alone.
So it's you.
Dad, what's the matter?
I didn't expect to see you tonight.
Why not?
I thought you might be out celebrating.
Celebrating?
Don't lie to me, Marcia. Your picture's in every paper in town.
My picture?
Yes, your picture. Here, look.
Oh.
You're a disgrace to the memory of your mother. lying to me. I have some extra typing work to do. And all the time you're up there posing for him.
Dad, I worked for Scott as a model. I was paid for it. There's nothing wrong with that. We need the money.
You see what he calls that picture? Do you?
Nocturne in black and white.
Why does he call it that? Answer me.
I don't know.
I know why. All dressed up and with that look on your face, and you don't know why.
Dad, you're so warped and twisted in your own mind, you can't think good of anything or anyone. Not even me.
I'm ashamed of you, ashamed of my own daughter.
I've done nothing wrong. Why?
Nothing wrong. Oh, nothing wrong. Lying to your old dad,
oh,
making
no.
him a laughing stock.
Oh, I didn't.
Why?
What is it? What's the matter?
I don't know.
Here, let me help you.
Marsh.
Dad!
Sit down, Marsha. You look all in. Cigarette?
Oh, no thanks, Dr. Barnes. Is he all right?
He's a little stronger for now.
It was my fault.
Why do you say that?
He discovered I'd posed for the picture Mr. Ames entered in the exhibit. He was so angry that... It's my fault.
Marsha, listen to me. Something happens to people when they're confined to a wheelchair in one place, day after day, year after year. Your father never tried to find anything to occupy himself. His mind couldn't.
His mind? What are you saying?
He's not going to get better, Marsha.
Oh...
Try not to think about it now. Is there anyone I can call to come and stay with you?
No.
Well, go home and try to get some sleep.
No. No, I have to go in and see him. Now.
Basha?
Dad, please don't be angry with me. Please.
You'll be all alone.
Oh, don't say that. You'll get well.
No, no. Don't look like that. Be glad I'll be with your mother again.
Dad.
She'll be angry at me, always thinking of myself, never about you.
Oh, I love you. I didn't mean to lie.
Marsha, tell me about Scott Ames.
There's nothing to tell, really.
Did you go and look at the picture?
No, I don't want to see it.
I had one of the nurses bring me the paper. I looked at it again.
Dad, you're tired. Now, don't try to talk anymore.
Oh, look at it.
What's the use?
Forgive me.
Forgive you? Why?
I was afraid you'd leave me.
Dad.
Promise you'll look at the picture. Promise?
Yes. Yes, I promise. I went to the exhibit. I never meant to. But now Dad would ask me about it tomorrow. If there were a tomorrow for him. At the end of a room of many pictures, in a place of honor hung the Nocturne in Black and White by Scott Ames. I stood looking at it a long time. Suddenly I realized that while my look had been one of love, Scott's whole work was love. I'd seen the other pictures in his apartment. They were wonderful, but not like this. And now it was too late.
You looked at it, Marsha?
Yes.
You saw?
Yes, Dad. I saw.
Go to him.
No, I can't.
You must. You'll regret it all your life if you don't.
No.
Listen. Pride is loneliness.
Well, now, you mustn't worry. You just rest, huh? Dad? Dad?
Hello, Marsha.
Doctor. Doctor, look at Dad.
I'm sorry, Marsha. He's gone.
Just a moment.
to me?
Yes, Scott.
I've tried to get you at the office for the last 2 days. They told me you weren't there.
I wasn't.
Oh. Well, I wanted to pay you for the last time you were at the studio. I'm going away. I won't have a chance to see you again.
You could have mailed it.
Yes, I suppose I should have.
I don't want the money, Scott.
No, you're being childish. You earned it and...
I saw the picture. I went to the exhibit.
Did you?
I'm so proud you chose me. Letting me be a part of something very beautiful. I know now that it was you that made the picture what it is and not me.
Marcia.
I shouldn't have listened to what that man said. I know that now. I should have had more faith in you.
Marcia. What's wrong? Something's the matter. Tell me.
You'd better go now, please.
Where's your father?
Please go.
Where is he?
He's dead. Oh, Scott. Scott, he's dead.
Marcia, Marcia. These things happen. There's nothing we can do but accept our heartbreaks as part of life. Remember what you said about fate. Fate is sorrow as well as joy. Don't fight accepting what you can't see or understand.
I haven't cried before. Now I can't stop.
I know, I know.
Dad wanted me to go to you. To tell you I'm still in love with you, but I was afraid.
You thought I didn't care?
You mean you do love me?
Well, of course I love you.
Oh. Well, there's nothing more to be said.
Oh, my darling, you're wrong. There's much more to say. Much, much more. And we've only a lifetime to say it.
And so the curtain comes down on the final act of this week's Stars Over Hollywood show as presented by Carnation Evaporated Milk. The story on today's Stars Over Hollywood presentation was written by Henriette Lebrun. Supporting Miss Granville were Bill Johnstone, Marvin Miller, and Byron Kane. Music was composed and conducted by Rex Corey, and the program was directed and transcribed by Don Clark.